looking forward to sharing this message with you tonight and getting started with this part of the doctrine series, eschatology. So we started this series, back in 2022, and we're just taking our time to make sure we're covering everything. We're not going near as in depth as we could, that's for sure, but we are taking some time to making sure we're covering everything that we can in a decent amount of pacing. But we've covered a lot of different doctrines, salvation, of course, theology, Christology, pneumatology, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about anthropology, the doctrine of man and sin, and then, of course, soteriology and all these things. The last one we studied quite a while was ecclesiology, the study of the church, and we've looked at that quite a bit and spent quite a few months in that. Now we're going to be starting tonight eschatology, the doctrine of last things. And of the ones that get covered in doctrines class, this one may be the most fascinating. I do want to encourage you to be here and for each of these. But I want to make sure that our focus is right on when we talk about all these things, to not get too caught up in all the nuances of everything. And Brother Lorenz talked a little bit about that on Monday night, and he's preaching through the book of Revelation. He was explaining that to us at breakfast on yesterday morning, and how it's a difficult book to go through, and you don't always know what everything exactly means, and everybody has a little bit of a different opinion on it all. And so we're going to do the best we can as we go through this. It's not going to be a preaching through Book of Revelation series. It's going to be kind of going through what I believe we're going to be dealing with, and where our church stands on it, what happens after the rapture, and so on. And we're going to be looking at all of those and the biblical case for the pre-millennial rapture and the pre-trib rapture, actually, and that we're pre-millennial as well, and all those different stances, and kind of looking at all those a little bit. We don't want to get too in-depth. I know some people kind of go, ooh, this is my thing. Other people are like, when can we get, when can we talk about Noah again, So anyway, with that in mind, we are going to start eschatology tonight with a message entitled Signs of the End Times. And this is one that there we go. Sorry about that. Matthew chapter 24, let's go ahead and start there. This is one that I think everybody is a little sensitive to right now in the time in which we live, but especially even this past week on Monday when we had the solar eclipse and all of that. And some people, now I don't think maybe anybody in the room here today thought that that was any type of a sign of the last times, but there were many people who did think that. And so what are the signs of the last times? What are the signs of the end times? We're going to be getting into that tonight. I don't know that we'll finish the message tonight. I have high hopes, but I do know what's in my notes, and I think we may not finish tonight. That's okay. We'll get as far as we can. All right, Matthew chapter 24. Let's pick it up in verse number 1. And he says this, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Well, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginnings the beginning of sorrows. Verse 9 says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. And with that, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get into our time together. Lord, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the word of God. And thank you for what is going to come. Lord, we do look forward to the rapture. We look forward to your return for the church. And then, Lord, we look forward to the millennial reign of Christ. And we understand between those two events is the seven-year tribulation. And we're mindful of the fact that we are going to be standing at the judgment seat of Christ during that time. So, Lord, help us to understand what your word is teaching here, and help us, Lord, to be ready for it. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us wisdom tonight as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So the signs of the end times. Now, signs are important things, are they not? I mean, I remember this is an embarrassing story I'm about to share with you. And if we can just promise to kind of keep it between us, that would be a great blessing. Okay, so it was when I was a young guy, maybe about 10 years old. My family, my parents and me and my brother took a train trip there in Southern California. I don't remember exactly where it was now, but we got on a train, and where this train stopped a couple times, it stopped at places to have like a picnic in the wilderness type situation. So we stopped at this one place, and they had picnic tables, and then they had, you know, this building there that had bathrooms. Okay, probably kind of know where I'm going with this. We were eating and enjoying time in the great outdoors. Well, it was time for me to go to that building over there. And so there were three doors. It's like the three doors that I'm looking at right now, the three doors behind you. And I thought, well, I'll just go to one of those doors and it doesn't really matter. And I went into the middle door thinking that obviously that's the men's room. And so I open the door and I'm in there and I see all these women in there. I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, how did you all get the wrong memo? Did you not see the sign? And they looked at me, and then I realized, wait a minute, maybe it's not them that got it wrong. Maybe it's me. So I get out and I look at the sign, and sure enough, there are two women's bathrooms and only one men's bathroom. Now, whoever designed that, I do not know. I mean, giving that type of real estate to women, I mean, okay. Now that I'm this age, now I understand why. No. Anyway, I thought for sure that I was going into the men's restroom, but I ended up in the ladies' restroom. And here's the problem with not just what that was. Everybody that was on the train that was out there enjoying this picnic all watched this whole thing happen. So I get out there and every single eye is looking at me, and I am beet red. I am blushing like crazy, and it was so embarrassing. And I run back to my mom and dad, and I kind of just tuck in there and just want to hide from everyone. And here's the problem. I didn't look at the sign. I didn't notice the sign. So signs are important, right? And the signs of the end times are also important for us to understand what they are and to know how to navigate them, know how to apply them. And so with that in mind, let's kind of jump into this message here. So first of all, before we really get into the signs, we need to, number one, remember the promise. We need to remember the promise. See, the deal is that that this life is not all that there is. There's more to this life than the here and now. And, You know, when a lot of people do believe, now I don't suspect any one of us does, but there are a lot of people who do believe that after you die, then boy, you just cease to exist. It's over. That's all that there is. The problem is, obviously, we can't see the future. God does. He's already there. He's the eternal God, which was and is to come. He's already there. He's the eternal. He inhabits eternity, the Bible tells us. But this life is not the end of time. And when your life is over, you continue to live on. Now, your body doesn't, although at one point it will be resurrected and changed, but this isn't all that there is. There is a future beyond this life. See, now the next thing on God's prophetic calendar is the promise of the rapture of the church. He promised it would happen, that he's going to come back for us, and that's going to really then start the timetable that we have in the book of Revelation regarding the tribulation period, the 7-year tribulation period, the first 3.5 years. It's going to seem like peace and safety is, there's a bunch of peace in this world when there's really not. And then the last 3.5 years of that tribulation period are going to be a horrible chaos, unlike anything. I mean, being a weatherman during that time is going to be absolutely intense. And then after that, the Lord is going to come back at some point right after the 7-year tribulation period is over. The Lord's going to come back physically all the way to this earth, and he's going to establish then his 1,000-year reign on this earth. And then we who are New Testament saints are going to rule and reign with him. Well, during that tribulation period, again, as I mentioned in my prayer, we are going to be at the judgment seat of Christ giving account for our life. The next thing, though, on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church, and he promised it would happen. Jesus promised it would happen in John 14 and verse number 6, in John chapter number 14, when he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions," and we sung about that a moment ago in the service. He says, and if that's true, and I'm going to prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So he promised he's coming back. The angel, we looked at this promise last Wednesday night as we talked about what's after Resurrection Sunday, what after the resurrection, what's life after the resurrection. Remember, the angels mentioned, hey, why are you just standing here, you know, kind of gazing up into heaven? And how many of you on Monday about 1:45 were just gazing up into heaven? Just cool. Did anybody go to the area of totality? Total darkness. Nobody went. Okay. I wondered if anybody here, I got to go do that. That was basically the scene there where all the disciples were like, "Oh, did you just see that?" And the angel said, "Stop just hanging out here doing nothing. He's coming back. So you better get busy. You better get busy doing the purpose of being his witnesses." So the angel promised it. Paul talked about it on multiple occasions throughout his epistles. And of course, the biggest one, which we'll look at in greater detail in the next couple messages when we get to the rapture part in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, is one of the most wonderful passages regarding the rapture. And then John talked about it a couple times in his epistles as well. Look, it's going to happen. God's word says that he's coming back. So we can kind of leave it with just the fact that God says it's going to happen. But he also has given us some signs in his word that are going to happen too, that we can look at and say, oh, they're pointing to the fact that Jesus' return is coming nigh. Now, one thing we need to understand about the promise as well is that while he's coming back, no one knows when that's going to be, including the Son of God. Now, you know, he's omniscient. He knows all things. That is one thing he doesn't know. He doesn't know the hour in which he is going to be sent by the Father to come and rapture us away. So since that's the case, since no one knows the time, he does give us some signs to know that, hey, it's coming soon. We need to be ready. So with that in mind, let's go ahead and go to number two here. Consider the signs. Consider the signs. Now, while there are no other biblical prophecies yet to be fulfilled, there are several signs that we are told that would point to the coming of the Savior. What were these signs? What categories of signs were given? And we can be aware. We can know that day is coming. Let's turn real quickly. Hold your place here in Matthew 24. We'll be right back here in a moment. I just want to show you this verse, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. And I want to just emphasize one part of this verse that we're all pretty familiar with. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25, it says, the writer of Hebrews does, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, gathering together on a very regular basis. And then he says in verse 25, he goes on to say, as the manner of some is, there are some who are starting to forsake the assembling. But he says, exhorting one another, and so much the more. And then this last part of the verse, as ye see the day approaching. So, in other words, we need to have our eyes open and be aware of what's going on around us so that we can see that, hey, the day is approaching. And therefore, since we do see that the day is approaching, then we need to go back to the first part of the verse where it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together and exhorting one another so much the more as you see that day approaching. So there is a responsibility to a point that we have to see that the day is approaching. And God has given us some signs that we can discern and we can learn and we can apply and say, okay, it does appear that the day of his appearing is coming. All right. So, by the way, let's be sure to get our signs not from just any internet preacher out there. Let's make sure that we're getting the signs from the scriptures, from the Word of God. And let's make sure we're not getting it from our dreams or visions or all those things. Let's make sure we're understanding that these signs are coming from the scriptures, because this is infallible. Other men are infallible or are fallible, and our dreams, well, they're just dreams. I mean, and not all dreams come true, right? Okay, so let's go ahead and look into some of these signs. Back in Matthew chapter 24, we find there are signs regarding counterfeits. Counterfeits. If you pick it up in verse number 4, it says, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So there are going to be some false Christs, some false messiahs. Those who come claiming to be the chosen one, the promised one, and all those things. Those who would have inflated egos and lead many astray and even to their death. And a couple examples within the last 50 years, within my lifetime, Jim Jones was such a man who did this back in 1978 when I was just 2 years old. No, I don't remember it. I just know that it happened. But more recently, when I was a junior in high school, David Koresh did it in 1993. So a false Christ who leads many astray and even to their death. And we're going to continue to have that. It's just going to be one of those things. And so do we see that sign in our day? Yes, we do. Even some of these televangelists and big internet preachers are many times heretics, and yet they have such a huge following. And, you know, I don't know that many of them would say that they are Christ, but some of them have said that they are God and that God worships him. And I've seen some things like that, and we could take some time to look at all that. But just know that there are counterfeits even to this day. And so, boy, is that sign here and now? Yes, it is. So we have signs regarding counterfeits. And then letter B, secondly, there are signs regarding conflict. If you go to verse number 6 here, it says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And then he goes on to say, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. So there are going to be some conflicts going on. And he warned, Jesus did, that there would that nations would go to war against each other. And it's certainly true that war seems to plague our world, and it has for a long, long time. It's been recorded that in the last 3,400 years of recorded history, or 3,500 years, only 268 of those years have been free of war. So 3,400 years of recorded history, only 268 of those years have been time of peace. So there's been war going on for a long time. And in the course of the last couple of years, we've seen a couple of larger wars go on, the Russia and Ukraine war, which actually had been going on for a long time, but definitely escalated back in 2022. And then the more recent Israel-Hamas war that has been going on since October. Like there, these are things that are happening right now, and Jesus said it would. And he says in verse number 6, this is an important part of this particular sign of conflict. Notice in verse 6, ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Here's what it is. See that ye be not troubled. Now, obviously, it is troubling when you hear of a war happening, and the sadness of these innocent lives being taken and all of that, and the carnage and the destruction. It is sad, but Jesus says, don't be troubled. Don't freak out and go, oh no. Just know that he says this, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Obviously, no one here is rooting for more war, but it is necessary within the plan of God. So Jesus tells us we're not to be alarmed. We're to look beyond these military and national convulsions to the redemption that awaits us in the future. So there's signs regarding conflict. There's signs, thirdly, regarding creation. If you go to verse number 7, I didn't read that whole verse. The first part says, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And then he says, there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And do we see all of that happening today? I think all of us would say, yes, we do. And definitely the pestilences, the COVID situation is definitely fits that category for sure. And obviously, as you watch the news, there's always like, oh, there's a new one coming out. Man, we can't wait for this to hit. The news can't wait, because then they get more viewers. But there are pestilences out there, of course, and there's diseases. And then, of course, we have earthquakes. And in recent days, there have been several large earthquakes. There was that one in Taiwan just several days ago. So these things are happening in creation, and it's just pointing to the fact that, hey, look, Jesus is coming back soon. Okay. Fourthly, what other signs? There are signs regarding chaos. In verses 9 through 14, we have that verse 9 says, and they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. So there's going to be a little bit of extra and major persecution. And then he says there's going to be more false teachers. In verse 10, many shall be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. I mean, this, I guess that goes back to a little bit of the conflict that we mentioned a little while ago. But verse 11, many false prophets shall rise and deceive many. So another reference to false teachers. And of course, I could have included that verse in the other category. But Jesus is basically saying, look, it's just going to be a lot of things going on that you're going to be watching. If you have eyes to see, you'll be able to notice these signs that, hey, it's coming soon. And then there's another category of signs, and these are signs regarding culture. And I want to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 to look through these. And these are absolutely evident. And this is the part I'm not sure I'm going to get very far through. But 2 Timothy chapter number 3, Paul says there are also some signs of the last times, the last days. And he goes and lists several different aspects of the last days. And as we go through this list, it's going to be evident that we are in the last days. And so therefore, his coming is soon, and we need to be ready. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look in verse number 1. It says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. They're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." And so this is quite a list, and I do want to take a moment to break these down. And this is the part where I think we're going to not make it all the way through for tonight. But in culture, there is going to be, Paul says, these evidences, these signs that point to the fact that we are in the last days, that we need to be ready because Jesus could come at any moment. So what does he say here? Let's break it down. Verse 2, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." All right. They're going to be selfish, and they're going to be, you know, thinking about just themselves. And I think that that doesn't need a lot of proof from culture today. I think all of us would agree that we all struggle with that individually. And if we struggle with that, how much more do those who are not saved struggle with that? It's just who they are. They focus on themselves. They love their own selves. Next, they're covetous. And we know that that's one of the Ten Commandments. In fact, the last one, "Thou shalt not covet." But covetousness is a sign of the last times, and people want more, bigger, better, greater. And that whole affluence, the desire to have more is huge. We noticed it very strongly when we were in Southern California. I mean, we lived in Orange County, and the church we served at was in Newport Beach, which was, kind of a uppity type area, even within Orange County. I mean, people go, "Whoa, you are in Newport Beach. Wow." And people in Newport Beach, they had these ginormous houses that were overlooking the ocean, and they had all kinds, all the name brand clothing and all these fancy cars, and they had all the bells and whistles of life. And there was just a desire to have, and that was definitely true there. But look, it's the same here. Maybe not quite the same thing. Even in Montana, it was the same thing. It just was different. It wasn't a house overlooking the ocean, because there was no ocean in Montana. It was having, all the like Bass Pro Shops and Sportsman's Warehouse was an outdoorsman type thing. Absolute money pit. These guys would spend all kinds of money on their boats and for the lakes that they had there, and their fishing equipment and their hunting equipment. And I mean, all these things. And then here it's a little bit of the same stuff. We can get all into our, I'm not sure what Oklahomans are really into, sweet tea. I'm not sure what we're all into. Our sports are big here, college football and all that, and spending money on all those things. And they're covetous. We're just in a covetous society, that's for sure. And that's what the advertisers are glad for, because they want people to want what they want, what they have to offer. So we're in a covetous society, and therefore it's obvious we are in the last days. Then there's boasters. Those who go around boasting about themselves, and definitely there's sports people who do this, and the celebrities in this world, the movie stars, the Hollywood actors, and all the music stars, and all of that. They are boasters. Now, not every one of them, obviously, but by and large, they are thinking about themselves and talking about how wonderful they are. And this next one goes along a little bit with that. Verse 2 talks about that one of the things would be that people be proud, and they would be thinking about themselves. They would also be blasphemers, and it's pretty common to have any mainstream movie or any mainstream television program to take the Lord's name in vain on the regular. It's a very common thing. You know, 50 years ago, not so much. But today, it's almost like if you don't, then is anybody going to even watch it? Right? And so blasphemers are everywhere. And, you know, those who work with other people who aren't Christians know that to be true. And then we have disobedient to parents. I'm just going to get through this verse, and then we'll wrap it up for tonight. But they're disobedient to parents. Again, looking at culture, I say 50 years ago. I need to probably go back a little further than that, don't I? But if we go back maybe 75 years ago, it was very uncommon for children to want to disobey their parents. Well, then we have the 60s and the 70s, which were a very rebellious period of time in our country's history, where, you know, we're going to just break away from any type of authority. We're going to question the man and all those things. And now all of a sudden we have children who, you know, parents are afraid to discipline their children, and they're afraid to tell their children no. And so therefore children are in charge of the parents. And there's not a submission. There's not an obedience to parents now. And Paul said, hey, in the last days, there's going to be people who are going to be disobedient to parents. The children are going to be disobedient to parents. Is that happening today? Yes. Now, of course, not everybody is in that scenario. And for those who are young parents, I would encourage you to fight against that tendency, because that is the culture of parenting. Even it's like, oh, I don't want to tell my child no, you know, because I want him to decide for himself. Okay. Well, it's your responsibility to lead them in the right direction and to train them in the way they should go. Not make them decide when they're 3 years old what they want to do and what they get to eat and all those things. Because what that's going to lead to is when they're, you know, teenagers, and you say, well, I don't think you should be seeing that girl. Who are you? I'm going to do what I want to do. This is my life. You step aside. This is my life. You have no right to tell me what to do. And that's what it can lead to. And so it's important for young parents to make sure that they're training their children in the way they should go, and insisting on obedience and not tolerating disobedience. But disobedient to parents is definitely one. Unthankful. We live in a pretty unthankful society. And then unholy. Absolutely. I mean, those are, I don't have to go through a bunch of examples on that. I mean, with the rise of the internet in the pocket, that's not a good thing. It can be helpful, and I'm thankful for some of it, but by and large, it's an unholy thing. So here's some signs regarding culture. We'll get into more of them next week, and we'll kind of walk through the rest of these. But one of the things I want to leave us with is, let me leave you with this verse, and we'll talk more about it next week. But it's back in Matthew 24, in verse number 44. So we see some of these signs happening. We see the day approaching. What should our response be? Well, verse 44 here, Jesus says this, because I don't want to miss this in case the Lord comes back before next Wednesday. So verse 44, therefore, be ye also ready. Be ready, because he could come back before next Wednesday. So let's be prepared. Let's be ready. Let's make sure we're right with the Lord. Let's make sure we're a believer in Christ and that we're sharing the gospel with others. Let's make sure that we're ready, because he could come back at any moment. So there's other signs we're going to look at, and then we're going to spend a little bit more time also talking about how we can be ready. But with that, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll look at some prayer requests tonight. Lord, we thank you for the promise that you are coming back for us. And Lord, we are looking forward to that. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be aware and observant to the signs around us. And Lord, I pray that we would see what's going on, and we would know from the Word of God what things to be looking for, and to not be following some whims of internet preachers and things like that, but Lord, to be focused in on your word and what your word has to say about these last times and these end times. And then, Lord, I pray you'd help us to be ready, knowing that you could come back at any moment. And Lord, if there's one here today that's not a Christian, I pray, Lord, they would come to Christ and be born again today before, and because we know if you come back and they're not saved, they're going to go through this tribulation period, and it's going to be horrible. And so, Lord, I pray they would come to Jesus tonight and be born again. And Lord, help us to be ready as Christians to be looking for that blessed hope. And God, I pray that you'd be with this time now as we consider some of these needs in our church. And I pray that you'd just bless this prayer time in Jesus' name. Amen.